ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। चन्नादपि सुनिचेन चरारिव सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि। हरे नाम हरे नाम हरे नामैव केवलम्, खलो नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा। When I arrived here at the temple, I went to see my good friend Dravida Das. And as we always do, we have a discussion on finer points of Vedanta philosophy. Usually we discuss controversial topics or topics that sometimes are confusing. Dravida Das said something very nice today, which really touched me. He said that he gets not very much opportunity to talk like we talk. And I said, yes, I also enjoy these confidential talks. So Dravida Das, thank you for being my transcendental friend. May Krishna bless you, and may you remain a evergreen brahmachari. So I asked Dravida early in the day on the phone what I should talk about tonight. It's always nice to have a topic, a theme. And he said that something that would be very nice would be to explain the dreamlike nature of material existence. This is a topic that is explained throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, there is a statement in the Bhagavatam that the secret teaching of the Vedas is that material existence is a dream. How's your dream going? Are you having a good dream? Are you having a bad dream? Or sometimes both. So this needs to be explained. For me personally, this is something I very much bring up a lot in my preaching. Oh, I used the wrong word. In my sharing with congregational members around the world, wherever I may go, a theme that I like to talk about, the dreamlike nature of material existence. But for many people, it's a very difficult subject matter to really get a hold of, so I'll try my best. Dravida Das said there are five direct verses in the Bhagavatam, pretty much that say the same thing, which is rare. So of the choices, when he reminded me that there's a statement by Krishna himself in the Uddhava Gita, then I said, oh, that's the best. Because everybody that comes here agrees that the ultimate authority is Krishna. That is a conclusion that we learn from Bhagavad Gita. I think last Sunday you had your Bhagavad Gita. Did you have a yajna last week? So those who have really studied Bhagavad Gita, one of the strongest conclusions that you get from studying Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is the supreme authority. There is no dispute. When Krishna gives a statement, those who are fortunate, they take Krishna's statements and they don't doubt them. Of course, that requires some faith and realization. Hopefully, you have got that. That's why you continue to come to this temple, because you've got that much faith that Krishna is the supreme authority. So the Uddhava Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, is Krishna's conversation with Arjuna. And the Uddhava Gita is contained in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto, the Janma Karma, the birth and activities of Krishna, are described in the 10th canto. It's the biggest single section of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam picks up where Bhagavad Gita leaves off. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instruction, commandment, that we should surrender to him. And if we agree to surrender, or some people don't like that word, surrender. Okay, shelter. Take shelter of Krishna. That's a softer word than surrender. What? Surrender? Give up? No. No, but take shelter. Ah, that's a much more loving word. But it's actually another synonym for the word sharanam, to take shelter. So the next question is, how do I take shelter of Krishna? How do I surrender? So Srimad Bhagavatam picks up from that point, how to surrender, how to take shelter. And you could say that Srimad Bhagavatam is an elaboration of the concepts that Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is a summary study of all the Vedas. Vedas is the compendium of knowledge that is given to mankind at the dawn of creation. When you buy a equipment, computer, or a fancy piece of equipment, there's an instruction manual that goes with it. But most people don't read their instruction manuals. And then they got to call the tech support. Hey, what happened? And they say, did you read the manual? Oh, what manual? I don't know. So God gives us a manual how to work in this material world. It's called the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedas. And then the Bhagavad Gita is a summary study. Srimad Bhagavatam elaborates more fully on the subject. So here's a verse. So just before Krishna left this world, went back to his abode, because he was on this earth in India and stayed there for 125 years. So just before leaving, you could say his final set of instructions was what he left with his great devotee, Uddhava. Uddhava could not bear the thought of separation from Krishna. So this 11th canto, the bulk of it is this conversation between Uddhava. Just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita asks Krishna questions, Uddhava asks Krishna questions, Krishna elaborates. So one of these conversations has to deal with the nature of this material world. What is its nature? How to actually understand it? So here is one very nice statement by Krishna. If you will allow me to indulge, I will try my best with the Sanskrit. Artehi avidyamanepi sangsritir na nivartate jayato vishayan asya swapne natagamo yata. That's the word. Swapne, swapna, a dream. If you will please repeat. For one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, does not go away. Just as the unpleasant experiences of a dream do not. So here, the supreme authority, Krishna himself, is saying that this material life is just like a dream. Now, when you dream at night, you've all had dreams. While you're in the dream, it's very real, isn't it? It may be a good dream, and it may be a nightmare. And while you're in it, it's real. I've had dreams, actually, if I may, please don't hate me. A month ago, I had my first dream about Krishna. I didn't want to wake up from that dream. That was so nice. And then I woke up and I was crying. And I told my wife, I just had my first dream about Krishna. Oh, happy day. But sometimes you have other kinds of dreams. And you, and you wake up, oh, it was just a dream. But in the dream, it was very real. As being stabbed, or a tiger is coming, or you're in jail. So many different dreams you can have. But it's not real. But it seems real. So Krishna is saying, you got to listen, you got to study this verse point for point. For one who is meditating on sense gratification, what does that mean? Actually, there's only two things. Sense gratification, Krishna consciousness. That's it. Krishna consciousness means thinking, doing, acting, serving Krishna. Krishna consciousness. The opposite of that, trying to enjoy separately, and my intention is, how can I be happy? How can I enjoy? Sense gratification. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, Krishna explains what is material existence. Krishna says, all you're doing, all we're doing, is struggling with six senses. That's it. That's our material existence. Struggling with eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and the big one, the mind. This is material existence. Top to bottom. This is all that's going on. He uses the word karshati, struggling. We're struggling with these six senses. So sense gratification means how I can struggle with these six senses and find some happiness, some sense gratification. So Krishna here is saying, if you're not Krishna conscious, then I will be meditating on my next sense gratification, going from one to another. So Krishna says, for one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, because it's just like a dream. And I've said many, many times in lectures that I've given over the past few years, the day will come, it will come for each and every one of us, when this concept that this material life is a dream will become very, very apparent. It will become so apparent to each and every one of us. Either it will come at the time of death when it will be revealed, oh, everything now. Or let's say you were in a relationship, and when you're in the relationship, oh, it was so great. Then something happens, gone. It's over. Bye-bye. Or maybe you had a business and your business was doing great. Then all of a sudden, everything gone. Even Srila Prabhupada went through that a couple of times where he had a business, then it was all gone. Finish. We have so many plans, so many schemes, so many dreams of how to be happy in this material world. But eventually, it will all become, we have an expression, castles made of sand. There's actually a purport in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says, just like a father will take his children to the beach. So children at the beach, they make sandcastles. They're playing, having so much fun. But the father looks at his watch, smashes everything. Let's go. It's time to come home. God is the same way. We may call it San Diego, Las Vegas, whatever. It's a sandcastle. The day is going to come. Knock this down. Actually, that happened in Las Vegas. There used to be an old Las Vegas, but they blew up all the buildings because it used to be the gangsters, then the bigger gangsters called corporations. They built a new Las Vegas. Oh, how about there was that Enron thing a few years ago? People had poured their life savings into Enron. Itself was a scam, a dream. Then, at the end of the day, hundreds, if not thousands of people, all their retirement, gone. Bye-bye. Zero. How about, I was told, when after World War II, Germany lost the war, so their currency was worth nothing. People had wheelbarrows full of paper notes. Yeah, okay, how much a loaf of bread? Oh, we'll take that one barrel of notes. We should be careful. That day may be coming here to America. If you believe in conspiracy theory. I love conspiracy theories. I always say, it may not all be true. But there's probably something true. I buy them all. Anyway, the day will come for each and every one of us when it will, it happened to me so many times. Linda, Michelle, before becoming a devotee, the day comes up, no more, it's over. But, no. Was another. Try your next dream. So, we should become sober. That's what Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness teaches us. Don't put your energy into a dream. The dream gives us an idea that there is a reality. That's the thing. So that reality is the whole message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna consciousness. When Srila Prabhupada writes in his books, he is describing a reality that exists. It's called Krishna consciousness. Even in chapter 15 in Bhagavad Gita, it begins that this material existence is a perverted reflection. And that the reality is in the spiritual world. There is a reality. Not that it's hopeless or void or impersonal. There is a spiritual reality. And Srila Prabhupada is inviting us, come. Come. Partake of this spiritual reality. These temples, Prabhupada's temples, are embassies of the spiritual world. So you get a idea, you get some notion that there is a spiritual reality. And you read books like Srimad Bhagavatam or the hymns of the Brahma Sanghita. And you get a very nice, I like to give the example. When you go on a vacation, say you're going to go on a vacation to some foreign land. So, you will buy some brochures and read about the place where you're going to go. You do your what is called due diligence. You don't just say, okay, you know, let's go vacation, let's go to Darfur. You're not going to do that. No, you're going to find some nice place where you can enjoy sense gratification. So you're going to spend time and energy and find out, oh, when we go here, we can do this, we can do this. It's like people like to go to Hawaii. Prabhupada once said, there's no enjoyment in this material world, but if there is, it's in Hawaii. I think San Diego might be his second choice. So people go to Hawaii, they do so much research. Okay, we'll stay in this hotel, and they have this attraction. So Srimad Bhagavatam Brahma Sanhita is giving you a brochure of what to look forward to when you go to the kingdom of God and how to get there, because that's the reality. So the choice is yours. Do you want to? Now, we have to keep in mind that unless you are fixed, unless you are convinced that there is this spiritual reality, you'll never get out of the dream. Because you have no other recourse. And the dream sometimes is really good. And some people, yes. I love the dream. What are you talking about? I'm Donald Trump. I love this dream. I'm president this. All right. But the day is going to come, Mr. Trump, when your towers will come tumbling down, and then where are you going? That is the question. What's going to be the next part of your dream? Even he said, if there is a God, I'm screwed. He said that. Little does he know that for the once in his life, he spoke something true. Yes. So, we should first of all be convinced that there is this spiritual reality. So therefore, something I do all the time with audiences, don't waste your time. Please read Prabhupada's books so that you are factually convinced of this spiritual reality, the kingdom of God, so that you will want to go. Because what is Maya doing? Don't forget about Maya. She's still there in the picture. Maya says, no. You want the dream. Come on. Don't leave my clutches so I can kick you. You want this dream. All right, you weren't successful with Michelle and Linda, but here is Peggy Sue. Come on. It'll be better this time. That's what Maya says. Maya says, it'll be better this time. Dangling a carrot. Then you chase after it. Smack! Yes. And if you're intelligent, after so many kicks and smacks, you say to Krishna, all right, I've had enough. I don't like these dreams anymore. I don't like them. I want reality. And then one takes up this process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. So I urge you all, please read these books. Prabhupada wrote these books for you. Prabhupada did not write these books to become a famous author. He wrote these books because he was compassionate. And he couldn't stand to see the mass of people suffering in this dreamlike material existence. He wants people to wake up. We even have a song, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. We have sleeping on the lap of the witch called Maya. That's why we're dreaming. So please read these books. Become convinced of the spiritual reality and go for it. We have a term, utsahan, enthusiasm. We must be very enthusiastic to execute these activities which will wake us up from the dream. So those activities, we have four pillars of religious life. We must be very enthusiastic to give up illicit sex. That's a big dream, illicit sex. Meat eating, another big element of the dream. Intoxication and gambling. These are the four pillars of the dream of material sense gratification. So these pillars have to be teared down and replaced with reality. What are the four pillars of reality? Truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity. And what's the fourth one? Mercy. Who said that? Very good. You get a ding. I know that if I didn't do the ding, Budgie would say, hey, what happened? No dings today? I know. I saw you there. I said, as soon as I get my chance, I'll do the ding. Thank you, Budgie, for attending. When I saw you walk in, I felt very good. Thank you. Mutual Admiration Society. I thought it was International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we replace with these four pillars of religious life: mercy, austerity, cleanliness, and truthfulness. Then we proactively engage in Krishna activities, which you're doing right now, which is the most important, hearing. This is where it all begins. That's why Srila Prabhupada insisted. Not that we just have the deity and do RT and ring the bell. It's not sufficient. You have to hear the science. This is a science. This is a science of how to wake up from the dream. And that science is the practical application of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, hearing this philosophy is the beginning step. Then after hearing, execute. Execute it. Chant, remember, pray, worship, and serve. Serve Krishna and his devotees. This should be done more and more and more, as much as possible. And especially this chanting. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra for me one time. That's a big one, how to wake up. This chanting cannot be, it's the very means of deliverance, this chanting. Lord Chaitanya teaches this. This chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the very means of deliverance in this age of Kali. So, that's what I would like to share with you today. And as Mahatattva said, if we have any questions, let's try to keep the questions on the subject at hand. But before we do that, raise your hand and repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Rama. Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
All right. Who would like to ask the first question? No questions? Yes, sir. Not all the time. What happens, I've been to Hawaii. Let me tell you. It'll rain for 5 minutes, then the sun comes out. Anyway, the point is, so is your point that maybe you're thinking that like this Hawaii, you think the brochures about the spiritual world are fabrications? Okay. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that many, 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 many persons in the past followed this process and achieved perfection. And the Bhagavad Gita says that once having achieved the kingdom of God, you don't come back. And when I would look at Srila Prabhupada and hear him, I would say, this person is the only person I've ever met in my life who I feel is not cheating me. I can't say that for anybody else, but when I heard and saw Srila Prabhupada, I was convinced, finally I have found someone who doesn't want to cheat me. Now, I've been practicing this since 1973. When were you born? All right. So, take it from an old geezer like me. You're not going to find a better process. And I have every reason to believe, as I've been executing this since 1973, that as I get glimpses, I see what's ahead. So, I urge you, don't doubt. Take these books and realize Krishna in this lifetime. Do you like the food that we serve? Huh? Oh, this is your first time. Oh, well, let's welcome him. What's your name?
Mike.
Welcome. Oh, first, see, they love you, man. All right. That's so nice. So, eat, make sure you eat as up to the neck. Okay? Then we'll talk. No, it means fill up. All right? And it's free. All right, who else has a question? Yes. Say that again. Wait a second. Are we talking about Inception? A lucid dream. What do you mean by a lucid dream? Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not so much concerned with the dream of material existence, whether it's a wakeful dream or a sleeping dream. It's still, whether it's a night dream or a daydream, it's still a dream. The point is to wake up from the dream. So whether it's a lucid dream or this, that really doesn't matter. What matters is that I am engaging in this process of waking up. How long have you been coming? This is your set. Okay. Do you like the food? Okay. Do you like the chanting and the dancing? Very good. So, do you think you will still come? Oh, very good. You keep coming. All your answers, you'll find answers to all your questions. The main thing is, as we had a president a while ago, I never liked anything he did or said, but he did say one thing that is very applicable to Krishna consciousness. Stay the course. That was the only thing he said that made any sense. Of course, he was referring to a war. I use that for prosecuting Krishna consciousness. So please continue to come. Come here. Make friendships with the devotees. Read our books. And as Prabhupada used to always say, your life will be sublime. And you'll have not a dream, but a eternal reality of bliss and knowledge. How do you like that? Good. Next question. Yes, sir. If you are that unfortunate soul that finds fault in heaven, if you like, you can come back down again to San Diego. You have free will, and God doesn't force anybody to stay there. And I would have to say, because, yes, that's a possibility. I would have to say that's a possibility. So, well then, at least you gave it a good try. But I will say this. Krishna does say, once having achieved, you do not come back. So, who believes in Krishna? Okay. So if Krishna says you don't return, I believe him. For instance, when I was 5 years old, I took a pencil and stuck it in the electric socket. Fortunately, my mother came right in time and she heard me scream. So now I'm 61. If you ask my wife, she'll say, you're still 5 years old. But do you think I will do that again, stick the pencil in the socket? Do you think I'll do that? Could I? I could, couldn't I? I could do it. But will I? Nah. So when I see here, Krishna says, once having returned, you don't come back, I believe him. Because what it's going to take, what it's going to take to go to the kingdom of God, you have to be so determined and so fixed, and there'll be so many tests. Nah, you're not going to want to come back. Trust me. People talk like that because they really haven't studied what the kingdom of God is really all about. I know growing up from the Bible, there's not a whole lot to talk about. They don't got much information. But when we read Bhagavatam, the Brahma Sanghita, whoa, we got a lot of information. It sounds good to me. Sounds a lot better than California. I mean, God, I sure hope there's something better than this. There was even a song, is that all there is? Yeah. All right, you had a question, sir. Yes. The objection is that since the beginning, well, I can't say from the beginning, but for millions and millions of years, there is a envious demoniac class of human being, or better, two-legged animal. And they oppose anybody waking up from the dream. They would rather everybody remain in dreamlike existence. They're called demons. And they come in various shapes and sizes and nationalities, but they're all the same ilk. They hate anyone who is trying to wake up from the dream. So, did you sign the petition? Oh, we have to get you that petition. Everybody has to sign that petition. I signed the petition. And the thing is, we have to, what I resolved from that is that I must become very, very determined to read Bhagavad Gita more and more thoroughly so that I become fixed up. So that even if, say, the day come, because it's already happened, where they destroy all the books, it'll be in my brain, it'll be in my heart. They can't destroy that now, can they? So let me memorize Bhagavad Gita. So no matter what the demons do, they won't be able to, be too late. Badri, you want to say something?
Yes, just a
yes. Dravida Das. Yes, sir. There you go. His religion is actually drinking. Yes, Dravida Das. Yes, sir. Yes. I don't live in the temple. So, this is explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and it was taught by Srila Prabhupada. You have to Krishnaize your life. So, for those of us who work in the quote-unquote real, unreal world, you have to, that's why Prabhupada says, you should rise early and chant the Maha Mantra. The power of chanting this Maha Mantra in the morning gives you some transcendental vision so that when you're dealing with the dream, you see it for what it is. Alongside of it, I did mention that you have to study these books. I recommend Bhagavad Gita. Learn Bhagavad Gita as well as you know your cell phone number. Study your Bhagavad Gita. This will give you transcendental vision so that even though so many things are happening, you'll be able to see it for what it actually is and see it in relationship to the reality, Krishna. So what did we learn? In the Bhagavad Gita, arm with yoga, stand and fight. In chapter 4, Krishna extols the glories of transcendental knowledge. At the end of the chapter, arm with yoga, stand and fight. So this process that Prabhupada has given us, hearing and chanting, that enables you to exist in this world. What did Jesus say? What is that? Thank you, Mataji. Exactly. So you have to, just like a doctor. A doctor is coming in contact with so many sick patients, but he knows the art, how to keep himself so he doesn't get infected. So they're all of us in the same way. You chant the Maha Mantra every day. You read Bhagavad Gita every day. Immune yourself. So that Maya cannot touch you. Therefore, the best defense is a good offense. So, how many of you are chanting Maha Mantra every day? Very good. If you're not chanting, start tomorrow. Oh no, start now. And start reading Prabhupada's books. A little bit goes a long way. And do it every day, without fail. Do it. Just do it, as the commercial says. Just do it. Does that suffice, sir? You can add as much as you like. Yes, Prabhupada says, a lusty man sees a beautiful flower. Oh, let me pick this flower and give it to my girlfriend. A devotee sees a beautiful flower. Let me take this flower, offer it to Radha Giridhadi. So, yes, Yukta Vairagya, utilizing everything in terms of Krishna's service. One of the beautiful things about Prabhupada's practical philosophy, it was never deny. You like to sing? Good. Sing for Krishna. You like to dance? Dance for Krishna. You like to eat? Cook for Krishna. You like to sing and talk and entertain? That's what I'm about. Do it for Krishna. You all know, I'm sure some of you know my good friend TK. So he has a song about do it for Krishna. So whatever your propensity, whatever your proclivity, whatever is your nature, Krishna does not deny your nature. Prabhupada never denied anyone's nature. But use your nature to serve Krishna. And then you will not be ensnared by the dream. So whatever you like to do, that's exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Yat karoshi yadashnasi, yaj johosi dadasi yat, yat tapasyas yakonteya, tat karushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, offer it. Many times people have asked me, Prabhuji, I cannot chant. I can't do anything. I say, oh yes, you can. I say, when you get in your car tomorrow and you put the key in the ignition, and you're going to work, just say to Krishna, today I offer you this day. Make a beginning step. It has to begin somewhere. But do something for Krishna. And the best thing, chant, everybody, one time. Final question. Who wants the final question? Yes. Okay, if they can't grasp, very simple. Come to the temple, take prasad. Have you, this your first time? Second time. So you know what is prasad? No. You didn't get prasad last time you came? The food. Yeah, of course. How do you think I joined? The only reason I joined is because of the food. It's so good, right? Okay, you can't understand anything? That's all right. Do you like the singing? And I saw you dancing. All right. Our philosophy is chant, dance, take prasad. Simple. That's the religion I joined. I did not join Hindu religion. No. I joined the religion that chants, dance, and take prasadam. All in favor, say Hari Bol. Understanding will come later. Don't wait. I'm very dumb. But, oh yeah, ding ding. Thank you. For years, I couldn't read Bhagavad Gita. For years. But I kept taking prasadam. I kept chanting. Then one day, Bhagavad Gita just spoke to me. And was, oh, I get it. So just keep coming. Dance, chant, take prasad. Good enough? Hari Bol. Thank you very much. May Krishna bless you and may you wake up from the dream. Hari Bol.